The shiur tonight is sponsored by Mrs. Marcy Shaiwitz. Leila Nishmas, her husband, today is the yard site, actually the first yard site. His name is Tehirsh Ben Meshulam Zisa. It should be an Eliphaz Neshama. I did not know him, but for the information I'm told about him is that excuse me one second. Let's see, this is going to... Okay. So he was a person who took upon himself to take care of other people. And one example which was given was that people who were in availus were saying Kaddish and not always so fluent how to say Kaddish, and he would go quietly and teach them how to say it. They shouldn't be embarrassed. Any type of thing he did, his wife said he didn't know that he was doing this for years. One time he snuck out to go somewhere. He did it quietly. People should know about it. And next thing you know, that you know, she found out that he's been doing this for years without her knowing about these type of things. So, such a special person. We're very proud to be able to have this year sponsored on the actual first yard site. Okay, the topic tonight is tefillah. We're going to try and touch on a few different areas of the halachas of tefillah. Historically, these shiurim used to be, we used to get, sometimes it's hard to finish the shiur, those of you remember we used to get some good fights along the way. Okay, we'll try and make sure we cover everything. The Gemara says very clearly that men and women are both chayiv in the mitzvah of tefillah. It's one of the mitzvahs which applies to women just like applies to men. Why is it more feel is important to point that out? Because we know that mitzvahs asay, which are zman goma, mitzvahs asay, which are time bound, mitzvahs asay, which dependent upon time, do not apply to women. So tefillah, even though it's a time-bound mitzvah, it's a daily mitzvah, does apply to women. The Gemara says, why is that? Tefillah is rachami. Tefillah is something which a person is beseeching the rachami from Hashem, mercy from Hashem. Everybody needs that. Men and women need that. Everybody needs that. Parenthetically, I want to point out, we know the mitzvah say shazman groma, mitzvah say positive commandments, which are time-connected, women are potter from. How many is that? How many mitzvahs say shazman groma do you think women are patur from? So how many mitzvahs say are there altogether? We know there are 248 positive commandments. How many apply nowadays? We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. Many of them are Beis HaMikdash connected. So there are only 71 which apply nowadays. Of those, 7 of them are mitzvahs say shazman groma. And all the other ones apply to men and women equally. So it's not a lot. Okay? But Shofar, Sukkah, Lulav are very prominent mitzvahs say shazman groma. Well, women are potter. But there are many mitzvahs which women are chayiv in, just like men. For example, the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem, the oneness of Hashem, which we fulfill through saying Kriya Shema. The mitzvah of Avas Hashem, which we fulfill by saying the mitzvah of Ahavta. The mitzvah of knowing that a Kadosh Baruch Hu exists, the idea that a Kadosh Baruch Hu exists, the moon and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which we fulfill through the first pasuk of Shema, all of these are mitzvahs say which men and women are chayven equally. So there are many mitzvahs which women are chayven. One of the mitzvahs is tefillah. Tefillah women are chayven, even though it's man grama. Okay. Are women chayven in the mitzvah tefillah? Are they chayven in saying the actual language of Shemoneh Esrei? That's the next step. We know that the mitzvah of women are chayiv in the mitzvah of tefillah. Are they chayiv in Shemoneh Esrei? The standard tefillah for a man, the vehicle which we use to fulfill the mitzvah of davening for a man, is Shemoneh Esrei. What about women? So this is actually a machlokes, whether women are chayiv in Shemoneh Esrei or they're chayiv in some form of tefillah. The Mishabura Paskins, which most poskim assume women are chayiv in Shemoneh Esrei. So the Magen Rom comes along and says, but there's so many women who don't say Shemoneh Esrei. Are they all getting it wrong? It can't be they're all getting it wrong if you tell me women are chayiv in Shemoneh Esrei and so many women are not davening Shemoneh Esrei. It must be there's another opinion out there, and the Magen Rom says that this other opinion is the Rambam. And the Rambam says that the mitzvah of tefillah is the mitzvah of the rice. So every man and woman should daven once a day. I mean, a rice, a person should daven once a day. And that does not have to be with Shemoneh Esrei. Shemoneh Esrei was instituted 1,000 years after the time of the Torah was given. Shemoneh Esrei was instituted in the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. The first Beis HaMikdash, there was no Shemoneh Esrei. Each person would take their own language and say their words to fill to Kadosh Baruch Hu as they saw fit. The language which we have, Shemoneh Esrei, was instituted by the Ashkenazi Gedolah, beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. According to the Rambam, the men and women have the exact same mitzvah to daven. Everybody had that mitzvah once a day to daven. What do you have to say to fulfill that mitzvah according to the Rambam? So the Rambam says the formula to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah has three parts to it. The primary element of tefillah is the request. The person is coming in some way asking something from Hashem. Before you request, the Mordechai says, it's not appropriate to walk into a melech. You walk into a melech and say, I'm here, give me this. You first praise the king. You in some way say, I understand in whose presence I'm standing, and therefore I would like to ask something. So first you have to say a shevach. Then you make a bakasha, and then you say a hudah, and then you say a thank you afterwards. So the formula for to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah, according to the Rambam, is going to have these three elements. In Shemoneh Esrei, we have these three elements. The first three brachas are praise to Hashem. The middle brachas are the request we make from Hashem. And the final three brachas, modim clearly is that we're saying thank you to Hashem for the fact that He's listening to us, and hopefully He's granting our requests. So that's in Shemoneh Esrei. What about not in Shemoneh Esrei? According to the Rambam, you don't need to do it in Shemoneh Esrei. I'm doing it any time in the middle of the day or night. You know, I go to the store and I really want to buy avocados, and I want the avocados to be ripe. It says, Hashem, please make the avocados ripe. Right? I want to buy some ripe avocados. Hashem, let me find some ripe avocados. That's a tefillah. Yeah, I once heard a shir from a very chashuv Talmud Chacham, was also a businessman. This is a recording of a shir. He says his best tefillahs are by the negotiating table. He's presenting his proposal. He's saying, Hashem, please let them accept this proposal. That's a tefillah to Hashem. However, you need to first say a praise to Hashem, and you have to say a thank you afterwards. So you would say, Baruch Hashem le'olam amen, amen. Hashem is wonderful. Hashem is Baruch le'olam forever. Hashem, please let me find my avocados. Thank you, Hashem, for letting me find the avocados. I just fulfilled the mitzvah deraisa of tefillah, according to the Rambam. So a person can do tefillah the whole day, not just dafka in the context of Shemoneh Esrei. Mirabbanan, there's a halacha of saying Shemoneh Esrei. According to the Ramban, according to the Mishmar Paskins, women should say Shemoneh Esrei twice a day. So if a person has an option of davening Shemoneh Esrei, a person should be davening Shemoneh Esrei, and that should be done twice a day. Women are not chayiv in the mitzvah of davening Mar.
If you can't do it twice, you're still beneficial to do it once?
Yes. Okay. Now, okay, so a person should daven Shemoneh Esrei. If a person cannot daven Shemoneh Esrei, so then we go back to the formula of the Rambam. But if a person has the option of davening Shemoneh Esrei, the person should daven Shemoneh Esrei. To fulfill the davening Shemoneh Esrei, a person should daven Shemoneh Esrei with the rules of Shemoneh Esrei. Rule number one, Shacharis has to be said in the time frame of Shacharis. Shacharis it can be said from what's known as Alos, from dawn until Chatzos, midday. Midpoint of the day. Not 12 noon, but midpoint of the day. So Shacharis can be said from Alos until the Shemoneh Esrei of Shacharis can be said from Alos until Chatzos, from dawn until the midpoint of the day. So for argument's sake, if sunrise is 6 o'clock, sunset is 6 o'clock, so then 12 noon is going to be Chatzos. If sunrise is 7 o'clock and sunset is at 6:30, so it's going to be somewhere in the middle. You can do your math, okay? Now, Alois is assumed to be at least 72 minutes before sunrise. So if a person says, I need to get up early in daven, I want to get up early in daven before my kids get up. So there are charts nowadays available online. A person could check exactly what time Alois is. We calculate Alois, if you look at your charts, my suggestion to calculate Alois is the sign which is known as 16.1 degrees below the horizon. So some charts will tell you that when the sun is 16.1 degrees below the horizon, that's the time which is known as Alos, and from that point on, you can daven Shemoneh Esrei. That's point number one. Point number two is, what language should you say Shemoneh Esrei in? So the law is that Shemoneh Esrei, to fulfill the davening Shemoneh Esrei, you have to have kavana, that you understand the words in the first paragraph of Shemoneh Esrei. The first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, you have to understand what you're saying. So a person knows what the words mean in the first bracha Shemoneh Esrei, so they can daven Shemoneh Esrei in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew. even though they don't understand the rest of it, as long as they understand the first bracha, we're good to go. They know they're davening to Hashem. What are they saying? They know what the first paragraph means. The first paragraph talks about the Hashem is Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov is the God of Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov, etc. I don't understand exactly the nuance. I get to talking in Lodom Das, and we made Lenish Bina, what Das is, what Bina is, what's an Enish, what's an Adam, what is Koinein, what is Malam made. I don't know what those words mean, but Hashem, please help, right? I get that. But I know what the first bracha means. So you'll be Yotze Davin Shmon Esrei as long as you know what the first bracha means. If I do not know what the first bracha means, so I should say, I should then either find out what it means, which would be appropriate to do, because saying in Lashon HaKadosh is preferable. But if a person cannot say it in Lashon HaKadosh, they're not fluent in the Hebrew, they can say it in another language. The translation should be accurate. So we'll say for argument's sake that our school's translation is accurate. The Mishnah Berurah does point out there's some words which are not somewhat ambiguous how to translate them, so therefore it's always better to dive in Lashon HaKadosh, because Lashon HaKadosh, you're good to go, even if you don't know what the word means. If you translated the word wrong, she didn't say that part of Shemoneh Esrei. Art school tries its best. We all try their best. There's no consensus opinion in some of the words, what they mean. So, you know, you're always going to have to choose, pick and choose a translation. So if you don't need to use a translation, you should not use a translation. Rabbi Yasha was asked if a person can use a transliteration. They can't read Hebrew, but they can read transliterated Hebrew. You know, it has in English, Y-I-S-G-A-D, you know, Yiska, you know, they pronounce how they say Yiskadal. They write it out in the English letters. So shall I use a transliterated sitter or a translated sitter? He says, it's better to use a transliterated sitter. You're actually saying the Hebrew words, even though you're reading it in English language. Okay. When a person davens, next point, we're davening, there's a lacha of mitzvah sichas kavana. When you do a mitzvah, you should do it with intent to fulfill the mitzvah. So I'm davening Shmoneh Esrei. I'm not thinking why I'm davening Shmoneh Esrei. I never thought something, why am I davening? Because Hashem told me to daven. I should have that thought. I'm doing it because Hashem commanded me to daven. Mitzvah sichas kavana. The person is doing it with intent to fulfill the mitzvah. More important, according to most opinions, Shmoneh Esrei automatically has that thought. I'm davening Shmoneh Esrei. Why am I davening Shmoneh Esrei? I get up in the middle of the morning and say this whole list of things because Hashem told me to. That's pretty obvious. If I say one tefillah, you know, why am I standing in the Shalom's fruit section and saying, you know, I really need avocados for my salad tonight. Hashem, please let me have avocados. Am I doing it because there's a mitzvah to daven? I'm doing it because I need avocados. So you better have in mind I want to fulfill the mitzvah of davening to get that mitzvah. Okay. I would not necessarily recommend that you should use that tefillah to be your main tefillah for the day, but that's an option. We had avocados for supper, by the way, if you're wondering why avocados became the topic. Okay. So those are the three points that a person has to be aware of when they're davening. They should be davening in the appropriate time. They should be davening in the appropriate language. And they should be aware of the fact that they are davening a tefillah. The appropriate time for mincha is actually from what's known as 6.5 hours in the day. So between midpoint and mincha time, there's a gap. There's a half an hour gap. Or, well, let's call it half an hour gap. Okay, there's a half an hour gap. Mincha, if sunrise is 6 o'clock, sunset is 6 o'clock, you can daven Shmoneh Esrei, Shachar Shmoneh Esrei until noon. You can start mincha at 12:30. You cannot daven mincha before 12:30. And you can daven mincha until 6 o'clock when the sun sets, unless you're chassidish, then you can daven afterwards. Okay. Besides the mitzvah tefillah, we have a mitzvah for a woman to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is a point which I myself forget to point out to individuals. It's good we're doing the share because Yetzias Mitzrayim is a time-bound mitzvah, right? It's every day. It's also every night. So there's no point in time where you're not chayav in the mitzvah Sechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Every day you have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. Every night you have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. So for the Mishnah Berurah Paskins, women are chayav in Sechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim because there's never a time you're not chayav in that mitzvah. It's not a time-bound mitzvah. So a woman is chayav twice, once by day and once by night, to say a pasuk which talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim. could be the last pasuk of the third paragraph of Shema. Talks about the last pasuk says Ani Hashem Elokeichem Shorteis Hischem Eretz Yisrael Liyaros Lochem Elokeichem Ani Hashem Elokeichem. That's it. You say that sentence and you fulfill your mitzvah once by day and once by night. So, woman is incumbent upon a woman by day and by night to say that pasuk or any other pasuk that talks about Yisias Mitzrayim. A woman has a chiyuv to remember Yisias Mitzrayim. My suggestion is when a person says Kriyas Shema Lamita, because they're not going to say, remember, women don't daven Ma'ariv, but they should, together with, and normally Kriyas Shema Lamita is just the first paragraph of Shema, it doesn't mention Yisias Mitzrayim. So if you say either the last paragraph also, or at least the last pasuk of the last paragraph, together with your Shema, so Kriyas Shema Lamita, you'll say the first paragraph of Shema, then you'll say the last pasuk, which we say with Shema, the pasuk of Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Tzeis Eschem Eretz Yisrael Liyaros Lochem Elokeichem Ani Hashem Elokeichem, you say that line, you don't even the word emes, just that line itself, and you'll fulfill the mitzvah of Eschir Tzeis Yisrael by night, assuming that you got a chance to say Kriyas Shema Lamita before it was already dawn. You went to bed early enough that it wasn't dawn yet. Okay, so you would fulfill the mitzvah of Schira Sisias Mitzrayim that way. It's also appropriate, so that's a chiyuv. Well, that's something a woman must do. The Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch says it's also appropriate that a woman should undertake upon herself Kabbalat Olmach HaShemayim, the first pasuk of Shema, that I'm accepting Hashem's the mitzvah, the Hashem's commandments, and Hashem's kingship, that He has the authority over me. When we say Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we're saying Hashem is our God, Hashem is one, means He is in total control of the whole world. I am bound to listen to Him. That, the language is not that you're chayiv to, that it's appropriate to. It doesn't say you're chayiv, it says it's appropriate to, which a person should try to do that. When? Sometime during the day. So even though a person who's fulfilling the mitzvah of Shema, of saying Shema, should get it done in the first quarter of the day, so a man who's chayiv in Shema must say Shema by a certain time in the morning, you're not saying Shema to fulfill the mitzvah of Shema. You're saying Shema in order to accept Hashem's Malchus. Hashem's Malchus is relevant any time during the day. So that pasuk of Shema, a woman, whatever reason, she wasn't able to daven, it's already 11 o'clock in the morning, she says she's going to daven Shemoneh Esrei, she'll say at least that pasuk of Shema and Shemoneh Esrei. She'll say the pasuk of Shema, she'll say the paragraph of, the last paragraph to say the pasuk of Ani Hashem Elokeichem, and she'll say Shemoneh Esrei. We'll talk about what about Birchas Kriyas Shema a little bit later. Okay.
Can she just say the last pasuk?
She just said the last pasuk also, yeah.
This means I'm from Alos on or from Nathan on?
This meaning Kriyas Shema or Shema? Shema, either one, yeah. Okay, now.
Shema is once a day?
Shema is once a day.
Yeah, but saying when
you're
having
to
try
him, you
said
it's twice a day.
Twice a day.
So Shema is once a day, meaning
Olmachu
Shemayim is once a day.
Correct.
Once a day.
Correct. Okay. Now, yeah.
How about Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim in Shesh Zechiras? If somebody.
That's fine. That's also good. Yeah. That's fine. But that you have to do it nighttime also. Daytime doesn't work for nighttime. That's you've done once by day and once by night. Okay. A woman is also chayiv in Birchas HaTorah. So that's the bracha of Asher Kedushan B'Savet Tzivanu La'asak B'Divrei Sarah V'Harav Noah, that paragraph, which you ends off with the bracha to Hashem HaMalei Torah L'mo Yisrael, bracha to Hashem Alakenu Malchalam, Asher Bracha Rabbonu Mikol Amim, and Asalana Sarasoy, bracha to Hashem Nesena Torah, and the psukim of Yerechecha, and the paragraph of Elu HaDvorim, and Elu Dvorim, Elu Dvorim. So that little section, just that not Elokeinu Shama, not Asher Yetzar, not Asher Kedushan B'Savet Tzivanu L'Tehil Sidayim, that's Birchas HaShachar. Birchas HaTorah is specifically these two brachas which talk about learning about Torah. The Asher Kedushan B'Savet Tzivanu L'Asek B'Divrei Sarah V'Harev Noah, that paragraph. And then the paragraph of Bachar Bonim Mikolamim and Asalana Sarasoi, Bercha to Hashem Nesena Terah, and the psukim and the quote from the Mishnah, which goes with that as well. So that is something which a woman is chayiv to do. She has to do that every single day, once a day.
One more question. Being Mekabel Olmach HaShemayim is once during a 24-hour period, or
yes,
once during the day?
Once in the 24-hour period.
24-hour period.
So say Kriyas Shema Lamita.
Theoretically, you can get it at the end of the day, but it's not appropriate to wait till the end of the day.
Well, if you're doing it when you say Shema with your kids.
At night or at night?
I'm saying you can do it then also, but just it's not appropriate to wait till the end of the day to do it. You know, it's preferable to do it earlier. Okay, so that's the mitzvahs we want to get in. That's the parts of tefillah which we want to get in. That's the mitzvahs which we're going to get in during the day. Now, I gave out a sheet, which actually I didn't leave one for myself. Thank you. Which talks about the preferred tefillah options for women. Now, this means the following. A woman knows her day, her schedule. Most days, you know, there's always the crazy day, but let's say she knows her schedule. She has X amount of time for davening. So she knows she has 20 minutes for davening, she has a half an hour for davening, she has 5 minutes for davening, whatever that time is going to be. So what should she prioritize to get into that period of time? That's what we're going to try to do next. Okay. So now, let's say she has 5 minutes of davening and she only gets in one thing. And later on the day she has more time. So sometimes you can add more and sometimes you can't. Some of the things, the order is required. Well, you've lost the order because you prioritize one thing. You can't go back and fill in the blanks. And sometimes you could. That's a little complicated. So again, our first we're not talking about the order of what you say A, B, C. We're talking about priority A, B, C. I have time for one thing. What do I do first? I have time for two things. What should those be? I have time for three things. What should that be? Now that I only have time for three things, what's the order that you say them? It might be A, C, B. That's not what I'm saying. Am I making sense? All right. Anybody confused on that?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. I'm trying. Okay. So the first priority on your page, it says that is the first thing is that the priority is if a person has time, they should daven Shemone Esrei. If they have time, a person should daven Shemone Esrei, and that should be Shacharis. And if you have time for Mincha, that should be Mincha. If I have five, Shemone Esrei takes me 5 minutes. Right? I have 5 minutes to daven. I should say Shemone. That's how long it takes. And I have 5 minutes to daven. I should say Shemone Esrei. If I have 3 minutes of davening, I don't have time for Shemone Esrei, so I shouldn't say Shemone Esrei. Well, so what should you do in that situation? I see the confusion. Just give me a minute. Okay. So under the first option, Aleph, we have Shemone Esrei, Shacharis, Mincha, or a tefillah which has praise, request, and thanks. What are some examples of tefillahs which have praise, request, and thanks? Well, the first one is Birchas HaTorah. Birchas HaTorah says, "Asher k'dasham tzav tzivanu la'asek b'dei Yisrael." Hashem is Baruch because He gave us the command to learn Torah. That's a praise of Hashem. V'harav no Hashem, please make the Torah sweet in our mouths. That's a request. Baruch Atah Hashem, Nosein HaTorah Hashem, thank you for being the one who gives the Torah. That's a thank you. We've said all three things we need in Birchas HaTorah. So if a person does not have time to daven Shemone Esrei, they still want to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah. The mitzvah of tefillah has three parts to it. Birchas HaTorah, which you're chayav anyway, gets all three parts. But you have to have in mind that you want to fulfill the mitzvah of davening. Because we said to fulfill the mitzvah of davening, you have to have in mind that you're doing it for that purpose. So I know I'm not going to have time. The kids are crazy. The kids are sick. I'm not going to have time to daven Shemone Esrei today. But I'm going to say Birchas HaTorah. But I should have in mind, I'm doing it to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah. Okay. The person says the bracha of Hamar Rishenu. Thank you. So Hashem is Baruch that He's taken away Sheno Me'enoi. He's taken away my sleep. Gave me. I'm able to wake up. That's a praise to Hashem. And then we daven that the Baruch should be targeted in Masar Secha. The Kedem to Secha. I shouldn't do Averus. And then I say Gomel Chasodim Tavim L'Mo Yisrael. Hashem is. Thank you, Hashem. He does good things to Klal Yisrael. He does Chasodim to Klal Yisrael. So that paragraph. You get all three parts. Or, Moida Ani. You notice I said? Moida Ani, right? Shema's not passage, you don't say Moida, you say Moda, because that's a woman's correct grammar, would be Moda Ani, not Moida Ani. Okay? So, a woman says Moida. Now, Moida Ani is just praise, thanks, it's not a request. So, person will say a request at the same time. I woke up in the morning, Hashem, thank you for waking me. Please, Hashem, let me get through this day with my sanity. Right? That's a tefillah to Hashem. I said that I woke up. Hashem, please let me wake through the day with sanity. And thank you, Hashem, for yesterday that I survived. Okay? I said all three things. I had in mind to be yotzei mitzvah tefillah. So I'm yotzei mitzvah tefillah. Deraisa is yotzei mitzvah tefillah. One last point on this before we take some questions on this. There's a halacha that you have to wash your hands before davening. So I woke up in the morning and I washed my hands 3 times like I'm supposed to. I took care of the kids. It's, you know, it's now 10 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's off to school. I have a chance to now daven. You should wash your hands. When you wash your hands at that point in time, you have to wash each hand once. Not 3 times, once. Preferably with a cup, like you wash, be washing for a meal. But, you know, with a cup. Each hand once, preferably with a cup. No cup available. Don't worry about it. Just wash your hands anyway. So I'm going to say Mardani, and because of my davening, I have to make sure I wash my hands first. Person wakes up in front of the Semarani before they wash their hands. That's the lacha. You Semarani before you wash your hands, but not if you want to use it for davening. So you have to wash your hands before davening. This applies to mincha as well. Person should wash their hands before they daven mincha. Even though they're not aware of any problems with their hands, the lacha is that stam yadayim are not kosher for tefillah. They're kosher for brachas. They're acceptable for brachas, but not for tefillah. Stam yadayim, even though your hands seem to be fine, you should wash your hands before you daven the tefillah that you're going to be yotze tefillah with. Okay, there's a few questions. Yes.
So, can you just wake up in the morning and go straight to Shmona Esrei?
Yes.
Do nothing else. If you only have literally, if you have enough time to just to Shmona Esrei,
just to Shmona Esrei.
Shmona Esrei, but you're not then Yotzei in Berachas HaTorah, so later you still have to go back into Berachas HaTorah.
Correct.
And Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Right.
And Olam HaShemayim.
But you can just say that without.
Yes.
You just start with Hashem's Kasei Tiftach and you just.
Yeah, just go. Yeah. Yeah.
What if you forget to have it in mind when you're after the fact?
If you forget to have it in mind. So if you're talking about Shmoneh Esrei, you're fine. You don't have to go, you don't have to go back and do anything. If you're talking about Shmoneh Esrei, even though you don't have it in mind, after the fact, but after the fact, you're fine. It was one of these other tefillahs, you really would have to, should find an opportunity to do something else. Another praise, request. Thanks. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I have a more fundamental question as to what it means is we don't have time. In other words, let's say my children are grown and they're not in this house. Do I then have the same obligation as a man would? Or can I just say, well, I'm running late for a train, so I don't have time? What does it mean?
Okay, so I'm going to get to that in the context of what we're doing right now. So if by the time I finish, your question isn't answered, please ask it again. Okay. Yeah.
Don't you have to say Berachas HaTorah before you could learn Torah during the day or speak words of Torah? So if that's true, then how are you allowed to say other parts of davening, I don't know, anything, Mahuva, or even if you're only saying Shmoneh Esrei and that has real psukim in it, without having said Berachas HaTorah?
So it's a good question. The halacha is that's for Berachas HaTorah is for learning. Davening, even though you're quoting psukim, is not a problem. Theoretically, there's no need for Berachas HaTorah for davening. You need Berachas HaTorah for learning. So there's a key to Berachas HaTorah not because of learning. The woman's key for Berachas HaTorah is not for learning. It's because we have to praise Hashem and thank Hashem for that He gave us the Torah. That's a separate key. It's true, it also is necessary to be able to learn. But that's independent of the union of tefillah. That's why Mardani, you can say before Berachas HaTorah, etc. Actually, you'll find some old Siddurim, which the Gruah came out against, they actually had a good part of davening. Berachas HaTorah was actually after Berachas HaShachar, after Lod Mahi Odom, and then after they would say Shema, they would say Berachas HaTorah. That's something that was actually, which is not the preferred way of doing it, but so Berachas HaTorah is not necessary for Shemoneh Esrei itself. And the same thing if you're saying Shema for the purpose of learning, you would have to say Berachas HaTorah. If you're saying Shema for the Kabbal Ol Malchus Shemayim, you will not have to say Berachas HaTorah. You have to say it at some point in time, but not for there. Okay, let's go. Yeah.
Just a quick Berachas HaTorah question. Can you sit when you say Berachas HaTorah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, you have a little more time. The question was, do you have to stand for Berachas HaTorah? Can you be seated when you say Berachas HaTorah? And the answer is yes, you can be seated for Berachas HaTorah.
Is it preferred to stand?
No. Overstating, but there's no special mile in halacha of standing for Berachas HaTorah. Okay.
Berachas HaShachar, that's the only way you can say it is like sitting down. Should you not say it or say it?
Berachas HaShachar was also mutter to say, sit it down, seated. Yeah. Am I being Reform Rabbi again?
Driving to school.
Okay.
Not light.
What?
What's not the red light?
What requires standing?
Yes. What absolutely requires standing?
you know, I'll get to it. If I don't get to it, you'll remind me. Okay. I have a little more time. So, sure enough, it takes me 5 minutes. I have 6 minutes. Right? I have 6 minutes. So what should I get? What should I put in? Now, I'm not going to do it. What should I put in next? Again, I'm not saying the order that you're saying. I'm saying, what else should I add to my repertoire for the day? So the answer is Kabbalah Zomach HaShemayim. And I should also end the scarcity since the time. If I can get in that extra minute, I have time to say the first pasuk of Shema, Baruch Shem, and scarcity since Mitzrayim. The last paragraph, or at least the last pasuk, the last paragraph. The order that I'm going to say it is that first, and then Shemoneh Esrei second. So Shemoneh Esrei takes priority, but if I'm doing both, the order of Shemoneh Esrei is second, and Shema is going to be said first, like it's found in the Siddur. So the order that you find in the Siddur is the appropriate order, but I'm calling it number two because I'm talking about priority-wise, it's a second thing that you must add onto your repertoire. Okay, I have more time. I have more time. So what should I add in? I should add in Birchas HaTorah. What's the order? Birchas HaTorah first, Shema second, Shemoneh Esrei third. So Birchas HaTorah is number three on the list, but it's going to be the first thing you're going to say. I know that I need 6.5 minutes to say Birchas HaTorah, Shema, and Shemoneh Esrei. I have 6.5 minutes right now. The kids, whatever. I got my 6.5 minutes. Birchas HaTorah, Shema, and the Shemoneh Esrei. I have more time. I got another minute or two. So next thing you want to add is Birchas HaShachar. The order is Birchas HaTorah, Birchas HaShachar, Shema, Shemoneh Esrei. I have more time. What should I add in next? I should add in Baruch Shomar, Asher, and Yishtabach. So my order would be Birchas HaTorah, Birchas HaShachar, Baruch Shomar, Ashrei, Yishtabach, the first pasuk of Shema, the pasuk of Scarcity Tzitzit Tzitzraim, and then Shemoneh Esrei. So again, the order priority and the order how you say them are not the same. I have more time. What should I add in next? I should add in Birchas Kriya Shema. So I'm going to say Birchas HaTorah, Birchas HaShachar, Baruch Shomar, Ashrei, Yishtabach, all the Birchas Kriya Shema with Shema and Shemoneh Esrei. I have even more time, I should add in Pesukah DeZimra. So I'm going to say Birchas HaTorah, Birchas HaShachar, all the Pesukah DeZimra with Baruch Shomar, Pesukah DeZimra, Yishtabach, Birchas Kriya Shema, and Shemoneh Esrei. That's a full repertoire of tefillah for a woman. We got everything in. There's an opinion that says women should say karbonos also. And you know, it's not fair to say women should, most men nowadays don't say karbonos either, so like, but really they should be saying it also. Well, let's not push the envelope. Okay. So my good and my priority issue. Now, so what do we mean we have time? These chiyuvim for the woman. So that's, like we said before, a woman's chiyuv for Shemoneh Esrei is the same as a man's. There's no difference in a woman's chiyuv and a man's chiyuv, except there's an opinion which says she can't say Shemoneh Esrei, we rely on this other, a woman's very busy, so she can rely on this other thing. Very busy means that it's either because she has something which is a shibud to her children, she's taking care of her children, that's a valid need. Why is that a valid need? There's a look at a person who is mishamish achayla, a man who is taking care of an ill person is not chayiv in tefillah. It's nothing to do with women. Right now, I'm doing a mitzvah. I'm taking care of this chayla. I'm taking care of the needs of this chayla. As long as I'm focusing on those needs, I have this pasuk of halacha l'maaseh, in case I have a doctor or a nurse who right now is taking care of a patient, and if he doesn't daven now, he's going to lose Shemoneh Esrei. He does not daven Shemoneh Esrei because he's taking care of a chayla. So the dinner of taking care of a chayla takes priority over tefillah. So a woman taking care of young children has the same status as taking care of a chayla. So a woman is not chayiv in tefillah because she is taking care of somebody who has a need. So that's a valid need. Number one. Number two, part of a marriage contract is you have responsibilities to your husband. So a woman has certain responsibilities to her husband. So part of the woman's chayiv is to make sure that there are neiris by the Shabbos Suda. It comes down to the line. She can either daven mincha or light the neiris. She doesn't have time for both. She has a chiyuv. She became this chiyuv to her husband to take care of the needs of the house, to make sure that there are neiris. The chiyuv really belongs to the husband. It's really the man's chiyuv. But women have taken it over because the women are in the bias. So she's taken over her responsibility to the husband to make sure he has what he has to do. So she will light the neiris and not daven mincha. because the priority. So that's a shiva she has to her husband. So that will take priority over tefillah. So that's another reason a woman would be potter, either because she's taking care of her children or taking care of her husband. A woman says a man has to find time in his day to daven. So a woman also has to find time in her day to daven. Well, I'm a woman, so I, like the question was, I have to go to catch a train. Because I'm a businesswoman. So a man also is a businessman. He also has to find time to daven. So the fact that I need to catch a train, a woman has no more of a tour for davening than a man does. In that respect. So when we're talking about a tour for a woman, we're talking specifically because it's either going to be something which is a need for the something in the bias, either for her children or for her husband. Now I do want to say, when I say time, right, I feel like I have time, but you know, I haven't had a chance to catch my breath the whole day. The kids have been crazy. One, this kid was sick, this kid was this, you know, and I finally have 5 minutes. I have a choice between davening or having a cup of coffee. Enjoy your coffee. That's a valid need that she needs to be able to function during the day. So I don't have time to daven. I have the time to just say my minimal tefillah of praise, request, and thanks, and have my coffee. Yes, if you need to have that coffee to be able to be functional, if your husband walks in the door, he's not going to have a very, very dysfunctional wife because she's falling apart. That's also a valid need. So when I say time, I don't mean that, you know, it's on the clock. It means that there's space in your head. How do you decide that amount? How much you really need? Those are those horrible parts of halacha that are very frustrating to figure out. You know, do I really need this or not? You know, you go back and forth in your head. You can't. You have to decide that. I can't decide that for you. Okay. Yeah. Hi.
In terms of Tehillim, would that be after all? In terms of the priorities, if I have 10 minutes. Would I say all of the things that you said and not say Tehillim, or like how would that work?
So it depends if you're a Hasidish or not.
I'm not.
Okay. So if you go with straight halacha, the answer is you would not say your Tehillim. You would say these parts of Hasidish women prioritize Tehillim over everything else. That's how they do their tefillah for the day. Now, even though the words are not necessarily bakasha, you'll see this woman is crying over some psukim which have nothing to do with bakasha, because crying is crying and words are words. That's okay, you know. That's part of the strength of a woman's tefillah. I heard a shir that you gave to me with Rabbi Nissel, right? It talked about woman's tefillah. There was a mitzvah of the Chofetz Chaim, that there was a gzera in Europe, a difficult gzera against the Jews, etc., and they made the fast days, etc., and it wasn't going. So they went to Chofetz Chaim, what to do? So he says, have the women come together to daven. They know what to do, and they'll take care of it. He says, send the women to the Beis Medrash, send the men out. The women will take over the Beis Medrash. The men will leave. The women will daven, and it'll work. So there's a person who reported upon this thing. He says he was very curious to see what they were going to do. So he went to Hidden Ezra's Noshim, watching all the women, what they're going to do to daven. Okay, so all the men leave. The women go. The women come, and the men with many of them with their little children, etc. They went to the Aron Kodesh. They opened up the Aron Kodesh. And they started saying, Hashem, look at my little child. What's going to happen to him? And started screaming at Hashem, you have to stop this. Please stop this. So all Gehenna broke loose, and the Gzera was taken care of. That's the power of a woman's tefillah. My Masara, I said over a Maisa last time, I said this year, 7 years ago, I had a Masara, story I heard from one of the Telzer Rebbetzins. She said over a story from her father, that there was a story with a Bacher in Telz that became very ill. The family was quite distant away. The Rashiva decided it wasn't worth worrying the mother about the situation. She couldn't make it in time to take care of it, etc. And they took care of the Bacher and they davened for him, and the Bacher was nifter. After they informed the mother and she came and, you know, that whatever, so she went to Rashiva and said, I have a complaint against you. Why didn't you tell me? She says, listen, the power of a mother's tefillah for a child, there's nothing like it. And maybe I could have saved him through my tefillah. He said, you know what, you're right. And he said, this is one of the times that a woman bested me in what to do. And tells Rebbetzin, said over this, Rebbetzin Pesach Stein, said over this story, that her father would say over, that the tefillah of a mother for a child is a very powerful, the tefillahs of women are very powerful. So, Chassidisha, once you're stuck to the nusach, it's a little bit harder. And that's why I said, when I gave my example of avocados, that's a real tefillah d'oraisa. So it's lot of avocados. Any need that you have, you can do the mitzvah, and that you're, and then the woman's power of tefillah is a powerful thing, and it can be done multiple times during the day. Both the Rambam and the Ramban, who argue about the regular din of tefillah, both say there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven when there's a need. Whenever you have a need, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven. So you can fulfill that mitzvah multiple times during the day. What's called a need? Somebody's sick and you care about them, that's called a need. Russian, please heal this person. So I said, Hashem is Baruch Hashem Olam Amen V'Amen. That's a praise to Hashem. Russian, please heal so and so. Russian, thank you for listening. I did a mitzvah d'oraisa, tefillah be'es sorah. And you can do that multiple times during the day. Mishnah Berurah paskens, a person takes a medicine. You say, Russian, please let this medicine be helpful. That's a mitzvah d'oraisa of tefillah. I wanted medicine to be helpful. That's a need. That's a mitzvah d'oraisa of tefillah. So besides the standard nusach that you have to say, which is a chiyuv, which halacha gave us, there are opportunities of the mitzvah of tefillah throughout the day, and we should take advantage of them. Yeah?
So, Birchas Kriyashma, do they also have a time they have to...
Oh, okay. Birchas Kriyashma is a good point. Birchas Kriyashma does have a time limit. Birchas Kriyashma, the time limits for Birchas Kriyashma, unless you have a Masara otherwise, unless you have a Masara otherwise, is 1/3 of the day, from sunrise to sunset. So sunrise is at 6 a.m., and sunset is at 6 p.m., so 10 a.m. is the last time you can say Birchas Kriyashma. So a woman didn't have a chance to die before 10 a.m., so she will not say Birchas Kriyashma. She'll say... She has plenty of time now. The kids, everyone went to school. She has time now. It's 10:30. Everything's finished. So she says, okay, great. She says, Berachas HaTorah, Berachas HaShachar, all of Pesukim HaZimra with Baruch Shomer and Yishtabach. She says the first Pesuk of Shema. She says, Scarcity Tzitzis Mitzrayim, and she says Shemoneh Esrei. Because it's 10:30. Had she done this at 9:30, she would have said Berachas Kriyat Shema.
And she said all of Shema? She had the first and last Pesuk.
Just the first pasuk. She could.
Okay.
Yeah, she doesn't have to. If she has a Masara, there is an opinion that says you can say Birchas Kriyashma until Chatzos, just like Shemoneh Esrei. So if you have that Masara, you can rely on that. If you do not have that Masara, you should only say it till 1/3 of the day. Yeah.
The brachas before Kriyashma and the brachas after Kriyashma, do they all have to be said? After saying, like, Gol Yisrael.
So actually, it's a good point. Thank you. If you have time, so the brachas are not ma'akev of each other. You can say one of them without the others. So there is a special. That's a good point. Thank you. There's a special skula for tefillah. If you say the Goal Yisrael and you say Shemoneh Esrei together, it makes your tefillah be answered, the Gemara says. The Gemara says a story that was a certain Amora. He was able to get that point where they went together, and he couldn't stop smiling the whole day. He was so happy that he said gula next to tefillah that he was happy, he was smiling the whole day for doing that. So it's a very chashuv thing to say Goal Yisrael and then start Shemoneh Esrei. So if you want to, and you had time, you didn't have time for everything, but you're going to say the first pasuk of Shema, Baruch Shem. Then you're going to say the last paragraph and all Emes V'Yatziv all the way to Gal Yisrael and Shemoneh Esrei. You could do that, yes. Okay. Eating before davening. So a woman is chayav in tefillah. The halacha is, Chazal said, the person is not allowed to eat before, it's not appropriate to eat before you daven. The person wakes up in the morning. Imagine that person wakes up in the morning, goes about those other things, has a great breakfast, then comes knocking on Hashem's door and says, Hashem, by the way, hello. Person says, excuse me, that's not so nice. First you take care of all your physical needs and you're enjoying yourself and you're having this wonderful cafe breakfast, and then you say hello to me. So you can't eat before davening. So what does it mean you can't eat before davening? You can take a drink of water, you can take a drink, a person needs a coffee, a person needs even a coffee or a tea, with sugar or milk, that's not a problem. But a person wants to eat something, a person should not eat before davening. Once you're yotzei tefillah, you can eat. So, depending on your situation of life, if you're going to be davening Shemoneh Esrei, you should not eat before Shemoneh Esrei. Unless a person is ill, and they cannot be mechaven, unless they eat. That's a different situation. If a person is not ill and they're able to wait, they should daven Shemoneh Esrei and then eat afterwards. If you bring your tefillah with Birchas HaTorah, so you should not eat before Birchas HaTorah. If you're doing yartzeit, so whatever you're going to be yartzeit your tefillah with, you should not eat before doing that. That applies to men and women. This applies to weekday and Shabbos as well. A common issue which we have is, you know, with girls is they daven in school. So they get up in the morning, they get dressed, they eat breakfast at home, and they go to school and they daven. So really, in that situation, girls should say Birchas HaTorah before they go to school, before they eat breakfast. So they should at least say some tefillah, some form of a real bona fide tefillah before they eat. Okay, we mentioned Netilas Yadayim before davening. Preferably, a person should have a kviyas makom, just like there's a lach in the Mor says that Avraham Avinu, last week's parasha, went back to the place where he davened the day before. So Chazal, if not, a person should have a kviyas makom for tefillah. They should try and always daven in the same place. So for men, that discussion is, it means they should always try and use daven in the same shul, preferably, and in the same place in the shul. Within the definition of the same place, it means within a six foot radius. So I should try and find the place in my house where I go for davening and try and use that on a regular basis. Kriyas Malkum applies to women as well. Okay. There's a issue in halacha. A person is davening Shemoneh Esrei specifically, and there's something which is distracting them. The baby starts crying, the pot starts bubbling over, and you really can't focus on your davening anymore because that, you know, the boss is coming tonight, and it's the only roast that you have, and you're going to be cooked, excuse the pun, if you don't take care of that roast, right? You cannot focus on your davening. It's distracting you. So the point of davening is to be focused. We don't want you to be distracted. The baby is crying. We don't want you to be distracted. If you cannot focus on your Shemoneh Esrei, you're allowed to do the following. You cannot talk during Shemoneh Esrei, but you can motion, if necessary, to the child. You can walk, if necessary. You can even pick up the child, if necessary. That's the third option. Preferably not holding a child during the davening. But you can walk and you can do hand motions. Preferably, you should, but you can't talk. So, if I really can't focus on my davening because of that pot, so fine. Don't keep fighting it. It's not working anyway. Go to the pot, turn off the fire, and then continue davening. Okay, where do you daven? Where do you finish? Should you go back to the spot where you were, or should you stay there already? So this obviously is a Machlokas, right? All right, it's Machlokas what to do. My understanding is you should go back to the place where you were. So even though walking is not preferred, so you're doing extra walking, but you were Kaveh Mokum that spot, you were standing in front of Hashem, you stepped out, as it were, go back to that spot. Yeah?
Did you have to take any additional steps back or forward?
No. Just go back. Okay, so that's just if there's a distraction going on. Yeah.
Could or should one not start davening if it's very likely that there will be a distraction?
Preferably, you should not put yourself in a situation where you're going to have that issue, but if the only time that you have to daven is now, so you'll start and hopefully you'll finish beforehand, before the problem takes place. Okay, the next step of the issue is, which is the halacha of the room where you're davening has to be clean. So the common issue is, you know, you start davening and all of a sudden the baby has a dirty diaper. So now you have an unclean space. You cannot daven in an unclean space. So let's clarify those points. So human waste, you're not allowed to daven in the presence of human waste unless it is covered. Once the human waste is covered, you're allowed to daven. However, if you can still smell it, it's not considered covered. Covering means that you physically covered, put something on top of it, so now it's covered, so you're allowed to daven. If I can still smell it, it's like it wasn't really covered, because it's still permeating, and there's a profusion of it in the room. So it's like it's still present. You made it as it were unpresent by covering it. No, you didn't, because it can still be smelled. So a baby has a diaper which is not smelling, and it's in the diaper, that does not affect your davening. You're allowed to daven. If the diaper is smelling, so then it's an issue. Now, Sometimes you have to change the diaper. Sometimes you can wait a little till you change the diaper. If the baby is not near you, he's all the way down to the room, and you don't smell it where you are, even though you know that it smells, but you know, because you have a chazak on your baby, right? But he's not near you, right? That's not a problem. Of course, the middle shmanes, he decides to walk over to you and grab your leg, you cannot continue davening, which is usually what happens, right? But if that's not, if he's all the way on the other end of the room, and he's away from you, you do not smell it, then you can continue davening. If he's next to you, the second other issue is if a boy is uncovered, he drops his diaper, so you can't daven in the presence of erva. So if he's facing away from you and he's the other end of the room, no problem. If he decides to walk over you and grab your leg, you cannot continue davening at that point in time. So now we have the next, this is a halachic issue of that there is a halachically mandated interruption in your Shemone Esrei. That you must stop. You cannot continue davening under these circumstances. My pat, I went and took care of, I stopped davening. That's not considered a halakhically mandated interruption. I'm distracted, so I take care of it. Such interruption does not affect the validity of your Shemone Esrei. But a halakhically mandated interruption in your Shemone Esrei affects the validity of your Shemone Esrei. How so? So, the baby has a dirty diaper, he's standing right next to me. The only way I can take care of it is by changing his diaper. So I'm allowed to interrupt the Shemone Esrei and change his diaper. But I interrupted my Shemone Esrei to take care of this dirty diaper. I obviously wasn't davening then. I would change the diaper, take care of whatever I have to take care of the diaper. I wash my hands, and I'm ready to go back to Shemone Esrei. Where do I go back to? So it depends. If the time lapse that you interrupted, the time lapse was as long as you normally take from the beginning to end the Shemone Esrei, it's like the Shemone Esrei never was. So let's say for argument's sake, your Shemone Esrei normally takes you 5 minutes, and you had a 5-minute interruption, so you start over again, Shemone Esrei over again. You can't, whatever you davened until then was lost. Let's say you only interrupted for 3 minutes, you go back to the beginning of the last bracha you were at. You said you were holding by the Malshinim, and then you realize the baby has her diapers, so you go back to the beginning of the Malshinim. So if the time lapse is the equal to your normal full time for Shemone Esrei from beginning to end, that's called a halachically mandated interruption, and you lose your Shemone Esrei. Let's say you didn't have to interrupt the Shemone Esrei, but you went to the pot. That wasn't required. The halacha didn't require that. It wasn't the halachically mandated interruption. You chose to interrupt, as it were. That, even though it takes longer than your Shemone Esrei, you do not lose your Shemone Esrei. So, my Shemone Esrei is 5 minutes, and I realize this pot is boiling over. I went to the kitchen is an absolute mess. It flew up into the ceiling. I can't focus on davening. So I clean up the ceiling, and it's 10 minutes later. Go back to where you were in Shemone Esrei. Right? Even though it's longer than your normal Shemone Esrei, that doesn't make a difference. It's not an interruption which requires you to go back to the beginning. It's you would go back to the beginning of the last bracha you're at. Yeah.
You talk to your child while you're changing his diaper.
Now, what about talking to your child? Good question. So now, I'm changing the child's diaper. If I know how long it takes to change my kid's diaper because he always fights with me, etc., and I know it's going to be an interruption of Shemone Esrei, and I'm going to lose the Shemone Esrei anyway, so you lost Shemone Esrei, so talk. Let's say, however, I'm planning to go back. My kid is, he's a quick fix, right? He's the 2 minutes speedy Gonzalez. I'm going to go back to Shemone Esrei, so I can't talk about Shemone Esrei. So if I'm going to be losing my Shemone Esrei, so Shemone Esrei is done with. So you're not in the middle of davening, so you can talk. If you're not going to be losing your Shemone Esrei, then you should not talk.
Does talking make you lose your Shemone Esrei? Like, if your kids are fighting and you need to tell one kid to get to their room because they're attacking another kid, can you say, and nothing else is working, can you say, you're going to lose dessert if you don't go to your room, and then
go back to Shemone Esrei? So, interesting question. The luck is, if a person by mistake talks during Shemone Esrei, they do not lose the validity of the Shemone Esrei. If a person talks intentionally in the Shemone Esrei, so they do lose the Shemone Esrei. In a case of oinus, it's the equivalent of the equivalent of a shogeg. So the fine earnest, that I'm not getting involved in how intense the fight was, whether it's called an earnest or not. So really, it's really not the chachila. But if a person ends up just like blurting out, will your kids stop it?
No, but if you really have to talk, then you.
Right. Okay. I think I covered everything I wanted to cover. Just give me 1 second to check. And then we can take questions, and everybody can go if they want to go. I think we covered everything I wanted to cover. One last point over here, which. Okay, let's say we say you have to wash your hands for davening. Let's say you don't have water available. It's a great time of davening, Shemoneh Esrei, and you're out somewhere and there's no water available. So what should you do? So there's a halacha of being menaka yadayim. Menaka yadayim means that you rub your hands against a cloth or something like that to take off anything which would be on the hands. That you have to get every part of your hand, though. It's the same thing as washing. When you wash, you have to cover every part of your hands. You'd have to rub in between your fingers also. It's not just enough to do this and this. You have to get, every part of your hand has been cleansed by rubbing it against the cloth, and that would be a valid way to prepare your hands for davening. It doesn't count for the washing in the morning. Washing in the morning must be done with water. I'm not talking about that. The washing as soon as you wake up. I'm talking about washing for tefillah, which is a separate halacha. Let's say a woman, whatever reason was, they were not able to daven. They usually daven Shacharis and Mincha, and they forgot to daven Mincha. Right? So if you forgot Shacharis, halacha, there's something called Tashlumin, you can daven 2 Minchas. If you forgot Mincha, you cannot daven 2 Shacharis the next day. You can daven 2 Maaribs. So even though you don't daven Maariv normally, but in order to daven your payback for your Mincha, you daven 1 Maariv, and then a 2nd Maariv as well. So you would daven 2 Shemoneh Esreis for Maariv to be able to do Tashlumin for Mincha. So you have an option of Tashlumin for Mincha through Maariv as well.
You have to do the whole rest of the Maariv?
No, just Shemoneh Esrei. Somebody asked me, should I try and get in as much, I have X amount of time for davening, quality versus quantity. What should I try and do? So the quality takes precedence over quantity. So you say, you know what? I'm up by Shemoneh Esrei. I find I daven better when I take 7 minutes. Should I daven a 5 minute Shemoneh Esrei and be able to say other things also? Or daven a 7 minute Shemoneh Esrei? Quality over quantity. One last point. Talk about eating before davening, Shabbos morning. There's another halacha of Kiddush. So once you've reached the stage where you fulfilled your mitzvah, you cannot eat before davening. Kiddush is bound together with the concept of a meal. Kiddush has to be tied together with the concept of a meal. Even though you're not actually having a meal, it has to be a time which is mealtime. Kiddush is when it's mealtime, before you eat your meal, make Kiddush. Before davening, you can't, it's not mealtime, you're not allowed to eat before davening. So there's no chi of Kiddush before davening. Once you reach the time where there's a chi of Kiddush, because before Kiddush, you can't drink before Kiddush. So why are you allowed to drink Shabbos morning before davening? Because you can't have a meal then. It's not mealtime, there's no mitzvah of Kiddush. No mitzvah of Kiddush, there's no mitzvah of drinking. Once I've davening, so now it's mealtime, now you can't even drink until you make Kiddush. So before davening Shabbos morning, I'm allowed to. So now, when is mealtime for a woman? Once you've davened. So if I normally daven Shemoneh Esrei, I haven't davened until Shemoneh Esrei. If I normally only say Birchas HaTorah, I've davened with Birchas HaTorah. Once I daven Birchas HaTorah, I can't. I'm not allowed to eat. I am now allowed to eat. I am now chayv in Kiddush. I must say Kiddush before I drink. Am I making sense? No? Okay, thank you.
So it's better to eat before you do Birchas HaTorah.
You're not allowed to eat before davening. You can drink before davening. You can't eat before davening.
But you can order make it a chef to daven.
So you cannot eat before davening. So it means that Kiddush is connected with the concept of a meal. So before davening, you may not eat, so there's no mitzvah of Kiddush. Kiddush creates a halacha. You may not drink before Kiddush. I want to drink before davening. So hey, because since there's no chiyuv kiddush yet, I'm allowed to drink. Once I daven, well, now it's mealtime. Once it's mealtime, not only can you not eat without kiddush, you can't even drink without kiddush. So what's called davening? Well, if you normally daven Shemoneh Esrei, till you daven Shemoneh Esrei, it's not mealtime. If, however, you normally just say Birchas HaTorah, so for you, once you say Birchas HaTorah, you've davened. So now you've been yotzei tefillah. You're now allowed to eat. Now that you're allowed to eat, you may not eat without kiddush, and you may not drink either. One second. I'm not finished yet. What's called now? Women are not chayav in musaf. Women are only chayav in shachris. So once a woman daven Shabbos shachris morning, she's for her it's mealtime. However, comes from Rashi, and Rashi says that a married woman will not eat her meal without her husband, because that's the expectation. They eat the meal together. The husband comes home, you know, after davening. His wife says, "You know, I didn't wait for you. I made kiddush. I'm eating the meal. You know, it's a third course already. That's not going to go over very well, right? You know, like, you know, great shalom bayis." The husband says, "Whatever, right?" No, she's not going to start the meal without her husband. So even though theoretically she davened already, whatever that davening is, Birchas HaTorah or Shemoneh Esrei, but since her husband cannot eat yet because he didn't daven yet, it's not mealtime. There's no chiyuv kiddush. For a married woman, according to Moshe, for a married woman, until her husband finishes davening, which allows him to eat, there's no chiyuv kiddush not only for him, but even for his wife. So if your husband davens by the 9:15, 9:30 minyan, right? Then they finish Shemoneh Esrei at 10:30. You can eat till 10:30 without kiddush. Now, he happens to stay in shul and learn till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That doesn't count. That's his decision already. So, for a married woman, according to Moshe, Shabbos morning, even though she davened already, since her husband has not davened shacharis yet, he has not finished davening shacharis yet, the woman is allowed to eat without kiddush. It's not before davening, she's allowed to eat. But it's not mealtime yet. Because she wouldn't eat a meal at this point in time. Now, according to Moshe, not only you do not have a chiyuv kiddush, you're actually not yotzei kiddush. If you would say kiddush, it's not a bracha batola, it's a brachah gofen. But you're not yotzei kiddush because it's not connected with the meal. I had four helpings of babka. I don't care. Like, that's a meal. That's very nice. But that's not kiddush. Because it's not mealtime yet. You won't eat your meal without... You might eat four hoppas of babka, but you won't eat your cholent without your husband. Maybe, I don't know. Okay, right?
But then let's say I'm thirsty after 10 o'clock. So my husband finishes davening at 10, but then I have something. But now I'm
make kiddush. Thirsty. Make kiddush.
Then I have to make kiddush. So I shouldn't make kiddush until the 10 o'clock. Then I should make kiddush, and then I have to have mazonos with the kiddush. Okay. And all the other meals.
So got it.
The meals are already
shut. You know, listen. Okay. So I covered everything I want to cover. Questions? Yeah.
Okay, very burning question here. At what age are our children obligated to daven before eating?
Boys and girls.
Boys and girls.
Till bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, really, they're a lot even before davening. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Question about Baruch
Shemar
Hashrei and
Yishtava.
Are they like a package deal? Like,
what if
only say Baruch
Shemar Shemar? So, Baruch Shemar is the introductory bracha to Sukkot Zimra, and Yishtavak is the closing bracha.
Right.
So you can't say Baruch Shemar and Yishtavak without saying Ashrei in the middle.
But you just say Ashrei and
Yishtava? But, there's a concept in the halacha called bracha smucha l'chaverta. You need the closing bracha only works if you have an opening bracha. You can't say Ashrei Yishtavach without Baruch Shomer. You can't say Baruch Shomer Ashrei without Yishtavach. So it's a package deal. Yes. Okay. Yes. I'm sorry, louder.
After Ashrei, there's the addition, you know, from Yishtavach. Mm-hmm. Are you talking about Baruch Shomer and Ashrei and Yishtavach, or are you talking about all of
the... Well, if you say more, that's all part of the package deal. But the bottom, the minimum package deal is Baruch Shomer, Asher Yishtavach. You can't do any one of those three without the other, right? You can do more, but you can't. That's the minimum.
And one other thing, about 3 weeks before you start out, I know there's an issue about sugar, and I know that you can. What about something like juice? That's more substantial than coffee.
So So Ravad Yosef has a tshuva where he allows orange juice before davening also. He says nowadays it's become so common. So once upon a time it was like a chash of a drink, so that was also like a little bit insult to Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're busy drinking, you know, your fancy orange juice before. Nowadays it's so common, so he allows it. I think a person, if they really feel they need to pick me up of that little bit of extra before davening, they can do that. Okay, ladies, thank you. Yeah.
Birchas Krishna. What is that? Just the
brachos
before.
That starts from Yetzor till Gal Yisrael.
That all has to be said before.
Before 10, 8, before.
Food, Shema Yisrael. Yeah.
Correct. Right.
Not Shema.
No. Okay. Shema can be said later, but if you're saying this now, you got to finish it all before 10 o'clock. So it's at 9:57. Don't start because you need to finish it by 10.
I get the Shema Esther before.
What's that time of day called? If I'm looking it up, is that Shemang Tishma or that
Shemang Tefila?
It's called Shemang Tefila.
But I don't have to worry about that.
Right. Correct. If you're looking up there on the Zmanim charts, you want to know what time that is.
Right.
It's called Sof Zman Tefila.
Not Sof Zman Kriyashma.
Kriyashma is a quarter of the day. Because Kriyashma is a third of the day. It's two different times.
If somebody walks into your room, you're davening, and is not sneezed, do you have to stop?
Not sneeze. That's a very broad.
Okay, there's a difference between erva and not sneeze.
Yes, correct. Okay. So
you only said a boy.
I only said boy for a reason.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, ladies, thank you very much. Two announcements. Especially on the next year is will be sent out. I remember what it is. The next year is on a Rosh Hashanah. December something or other. I don't remember. That's one announcement. The second announcement was, which is a public service announcement. I was asked to say this. Bez Hashem, the Yeshiva banquet is December 16th, Sunday, December 16th. They're honoring Mrs. Rangel and her husband. So please come, because they're honoring Mrs. Rangel.